Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where health junkies get their weekly fix of tips, tools, and techniques to have limitless energy, sharp minds, and fit physiques for life. Hey, health junkies, I have a fabulous friend of mine on today, and we're going to be getting real. Her name is Hannah, last name Polly, and I just called her the tissue specialist because she's all about fascial tissue and things of that nature. But really, she's a personal trainer. She's a coach. She's a coach, health coach, I would say, and also just a fabulous person who knows all about kinesiology and the fitness industry. And today we're going to be talking about how the fitness industry can either really, I'm going to get real and say, crush you or inspire you. And it can go either way, and it can cause you to disconnect from yourself, and it can cause you to dive deeper. And it all depends on who you're following, what inspires you. And today we're just going to talk a little bit about getting real in the fitness industry. And so Hannah, welcome to the Health Fix Podcast.
Thanks, Janine. What a great intro. I'm so happy to be here. And this is a really exciting topic. And if I want to talk about it with anyone, it's you. So I'm excited. Let's go.
Awesome. So you guys, there might be a little lag on the computer here because I'm still waiting on Elon Musk to get me Starlink here in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin. So don't mind us if there's a little bit lag. It's on me. It's not Hannah. It's all me. So there you have it. But yes, this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart because while in some coaching programs and working with folks in the fitness industry, working on some professional athletes in the Seattle area, I started to feel like all of a sudden that I wasn't good enough. I started to feel all of a sudden like I'm too heavy. I need to cut weight. I need to work harder. And all of a sudden it turned into this crazy, like, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough concept. And I know that a lot of women look at the fitness industry and start to, at one point, either get inspired and be like, I need to look like that. And then all of a sudden it turns into this crazy obsession. So Hannah, what's your opinion on that? Have you noticed kind of the same thing happen on your side of things? And give me a little breakdown on how it's feeling for you in that department. Cause I kind of feel like the fitness industry is much like the medical industry, and it's a little broken right now.
Yeah. Thank you. And thank you for sharing what you shared about your experience, Janine. Cause I think so many men and women listening can resonate with that, especially you know, finding ourselves in that space if we maybe don't match the idea of the perfect body. And, you know, for me, it's shown up in very similar but slightly different ways. For me, I experienced a pretty rough couple of years connected to a specific trauma that I experienced, and all happened within the time that I was, you know, in the online big fitness coaching space. And fitness for me really became like growing muscles on my body and like kind of obsessing over how much muscle I had almost became like a protection, like closing myself off, you know, from myself, from others. And I know that you and I, you know, found ourselves in very similar spaces, some of the same spaces. And a lot of that messaging was really drilled into our brain, you know, of, you know, as long as you look like this and you act like this, you will be successful in this space. And, you know, while working out and exercise, lifting weights was very therapeutic for me, it also took me into a space of, it's a fine line, you know, between movement and lifting weights to connect with yourself and then disconnect. And I moved into that space of disconnection quite heavily. And it actually resulted in me not lifting weights for quite a long time. And, you know, within that time, I still trained clients and I still, prioritize movement, but I just moved into a very different space with movement. I did more yoga, I did more walking, more meditation and breath work, and using those tools to connect with myself and connect with my body and feel my body. Which I think, the biggest thing with movement is doing what feels good. Like movement is here for us, for us to feel good. And I think, in this fitness space, especially in the Instagram fitness world, it's become more about like looking a certain way or acting a certain way or, working out to like look better and attract men or have better skin or whatever, like all this messaging that's about the right way to look and the right way to act versus like, okay, move to get into your body, move to connect with yourself, move to connect with others, play, that kind of thing. So it's definitely been a journey for me and something that I'd like to definitely start talking about a bit more because I think it's important. So.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And the concept of moving into your body versus away from it is something really huge because I've worked with women on all aspects of just getting into fitness to long-term fitness folks that were truly burnt out following the plan, going, I'm gonna follow what my trainer says to the T. And they're like, I don't even feel like working out. I once had a post that I put on Instagram as who's cried in the gym before? And it's, one of those things that no one wants to do that because there's ego, right, involved. But sometimes when we're not connecting with ourselves, the nervous system will tell us in heavy lifting. At some point, you will get this all of a sudden neurological, I call it anyway, release where you just bust out crying. And for those of you who are listening to this who have never lifted heavy weights or done anything like that, that's okay. It's not a precursor to having to listen to this conversation. What I'm getting at is that where it all ends up going when I see women who are overtrained, have been pushing themselves to the limits and not getting the results, we end up going to the movement. We find out what is stuck in the body because that neurological release that I'm talking about is literally something stuck in your body trying to get out, and your nervous system's telling you, like, yeah, this heavy weight, it may be able to help you, but right now you need to do something else. And so really starting to embrace movement and what feels good. I honestly, I don't really care if I even go to a gym ever again. I'll work out of my house the rest of my life. I know you had expressed that too, that you like working out now at home. And because it fe do you feel like you could be free to move more like you when you're at home?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Luckily, the gym that I go to now that I'm lifting more again, luckily the gym that I go to is quite quiet. It's a very like privately owned space, and I can just put my own music on and what have you. But there definitely is a different energy between, me working out at home and maybe like dancing around a little bit between my sets and like having fun versus that, like getting into that energy of being in the gym and like, oh gosh, all of a sudden people are watching me. And I'm sure for many people that takes up a lot of space in their mind when they're in a gym space, especially if they haven't, been educated on how to like be in that space and not lose yourself, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a really big piece of it. But I feel movement for me when people aren't watching is much different for sure. And I definitely think too, like what you said about the release and the nervous system giving us signs and signals to just stop. I think to be able to know what movement feels good for you, to know what feels good in general, we have to first slow down enough to actually be able to listen to our body's
Yeah.
signals, And I think for me, that was a really big piece was at that time, I was really committed to living up to that idea of like grind till you die. Hustle to be successful. So I was do you know pulling those 14-hour days, like following the big Instagram fitness trainer dream. And whenever I had a break, I was filming videos and that kind of thing. And I was so go, go, go with a fire under my butt, which I agree is a great thing, but it got into that space of not being able to feel or sense any of my body's needs. I was drinking caffeine all the time just to like give myself a little bit of an up so I could get through the next couple of hours. And I think everything can be used in a way that serves us, whether it's lifting weights or it's working out at home or it's yoga or it's breath work or going on a walk. It's all about our relationship with it, you know? And I think if we're in that space where we don't have a conscious or an aware relationship with what we're doing, then we just start to those we can't hear those signals from our body, and then eventually the body starts to scream, you know, and maybe we have an experience, like you mentioned in the gym, where our body just decides to tell us no. So
And I think, you know, like you're saying about the awareness, I think a lot of us now are aware of breath work. We're aware of yoga. We're aware of these different things. But for a lot of people, trying something new is a little different. It's daunting. As I get older and into my 40s and beyond, I talk to a lot of women that are in the camp of I'm not going into a gym because I don't want to be around that the meat market type of crowd. I mean, gosh, I get it. Like you probably have experienced this yourself. Like when I was working within a gym, I literally was like, oh my God, I need a whole new wardrobe to make sure that my gym clothes look legit. Now I don't even care if my socks match my pants. And this is something that I know a lot of women will think about in terms of the intimidation factor when it comes to the whole concept of gym. And so going back to what we were talking about of connecting back in with our bodies, I think it's really something that most women, before they think about going to a gym, before they think about hiring a trainer, want to kind of explore like what kind of movement feels good to them. So when you started to realize that you were kind of disconnected, how did you start moving? Like what was your first thought? Like, what should I try moving and see how it feels good? Like, tell us your exploration so that perhaps it might inspire someone to explore a little bit more.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful question. Thank you for asking. I recall specifically, like, I was doing a lot of walking and just especially out in nature. And the thing I first started to explore to create a little bit more freedom in my body again and feel in my body was dance. Whether I would like go out with girlfriends dancing, or I would dance at home, or I would go join a, there are so many like community groups that you can join, like ecstatic dance or, circular movements. More of those, like, I guess the word that's coming to me is like sensual type movements, like where they're slow and flow like. Because for me, I was very much in that like hard, black and white, aggressive energy with my movement during that time period. So I started to kind of reintegrate things with like very gentle, slow movement. And that for me felt really good. And then, you know, once I had done that for a while, I was like, okay, let's integrate a little bit of strength and see how that feels. So I started with some body weight strength. And the biggest thing on that journey, you know, is checking in, like, how does this feel? Do I feel more connected to myself after this? Do I feel empowered while I'm doing this? If not, then maybe it's not for me. And I think that's the biggest message that I'd love to give whoever's listening, and I do to my clients all the time that are really rebuilding their relationship with fitness, is you can do whatever the hell you want. Like, if it feels good for you, like there are no rules here, you know? And I think a lot of the messaging that we get is that there are these very rigid rules, especially for women. And that's the messaging that we receive, you know? And I'll be honest, like it does feel like that messaging comes from generally men. in the fitness industry. I completely understand how that messaging may be helpful, but for some people it's not. So, getting to know yourself and getting to know your body and what feels good is such a beautiful experience, and it's very freeing and empowering to realize, like, oh wait, I actually can just wake up today and choose what I want to do. You
Yeah.
know, I'm not a failure because I decided to do yoga instead of follow my weight training plan. And I think that, you know, leads me into the idea of like this idea of perfect balance that's this messaging that we get about perfect balance. And so many coaches are selling perfect balance, but something that I realized over the past couple of years is I'm not sure if balance really is real, you know, because in order to create balance, if I want to add something, I have to take away from somewhere else. And I feel like I like the idea more of harmony, you know, like maybe one week I'm really stressed. I didn't get very much sleep, or I'm having, you know, I had like a hard week at home with my partner and I'm feeling stressed, or having issues at work. Like maybe that week my movement looks a little bit different than the next week when I've had good sleep, I'm very well resourced, you know, or even things like the weather changing. Like my movement might change based on the weather changing or the seasons changing. And being able to, you know, tune in and see what feels right is so empowering.
I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, coming from, so I think this is another thing that even starts when we're kids. I don't remember much of my life where I didn't have a coach in one thing or the other. My parents had me in ice skating when I was 4 years old, and I had a coach at that point. And so literally my whole life has been about listening to other people about how to train my body. And folks who are listening, if this resonates with you, I mean, this is something that I see over and over again with women athletes, but also with women whose parents put them in sports. We were programmed to follow the plan. And then when we think to ourselves, man, like you said, I feel like doing yoga today, or it's, you know, right now I have a swamp in my backyard because it's rained so much here. I can't go cross country ski because I love to do that. I mean, it's too cold to swim. Can't do it. I could try breath work in there, but the idea is like, what do I do, right? You know, and if my schedule says I have to do today's squat day, then I am going to do squat day because that's what I was told to do. And I'm scared if I don't. And this is something that for me mentally has taken probably the last couple years, which is kind of crazy because I'm 44 right now. It's really only taken the last few years for my brain to realize that I can choose and I can feel what I want to feel. But I didn't know I had that even thought in my head. I thought that like Monday squat day, Tuesday's this day, Wednesday's this day. And it repeats over and over in your head. I think you can resonate because I see you going like, yep. And it's almost like we lose that ability to trust ourselves and actually feel.
Wow, yeah. Thank you for sharing. And I'd really just love to encourage anyone listening right now to like sit with what you just said, you know. Especially those that are feeling trapped in that, you know, area of like, I'm just doing all these things because this person said I should do it. And then okay, now I'm going over to this person, and then now they're saying to do this. And you can almost get this like information overwhelm, and it's so easy to get into the space of doing things just because someone else has told you that may be on a slightly higher pedestal than you, you know. And something that I always say to my clients is like, you know, please don't ever put me on a pedestal. I'm just here to come alongside you and just to support you and create a space where you can just be yourself. And if that means that perhaps I've heard of a tool that can make the journey a little bit like quicker or easier for you, then I'll, like, by all means, I'll share that tool. But I'm not even over here as an individual person saying I have it figured out, you know?
Right.
And I just really think that's such a beautiful message that you just shared. Because I think that's a lot of people out there right now, not just women, men too.
Yeah, we do got to give the love to the guys, because I mean, I think a lot of male athletes, guys who started out sports like me too, you know, you almost don't know how, like, it got to the point from, and if anyone comes from gymnastics, you know where this goes to. I was in gymnastics for years, and now you're told what to eat, how to eat, and that gives you that whole nother level, and move into the coaches that are coaching you for your fitness, but also you're asking them, help me with my weight, things of that nature. This is why I love the Lumen that I was mentioning, that breath sensing device, because it literally teaches you how to pay attention to your metabolism. Because honestly, it's so funny that I'm a healthcare provider, because literally in the last couple of years, I've realized that I actually couldn't even make my own choices about food, workouts, you know, anything related to my personal health. I had given my power to coaches, and not healthcare providers, coaches. And not that I'm saying, guys, I don't want anyone to give their power to anyone but yourself. But I'm sure that, you know, even in a coaching realm, like what we were in, you know, guys, Hannah and I were in a coaching group together, and even the coaching group, I gave power over to what everyone said. And this is something that I think for a lot of women, I think we've realized, like, oh my gosh, how much power have we given of our own to other people? And I know you can speak to that.
Oh yeah, that's such a beautiful message and really resonates with me. I think that's really what it comes down to. Yeah, is giving our power away. And I think that's a really important thing to watch for in the relationships that you create, especially with coaches. And I think I'm just thinking about actually a client that I was working with. We were doing a breath work session. And I've been working with this client for quite a long time, and we have this relationship, this foundation where I can, share things with her in this way. And I said, I have a message for you right now, and the message is just stop, 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 stop. Like, you're telling me that you're going to join this next coaching program, and then this coaching program, and then you're going to go do this method of nervous system healing, and what if you just stopped? Like, what if you just stopped? And that's I'm not saying stop in the sense of like don't take care of yourself. I think of course do not stop the things that make you feel good and the things that help you care for yourself, but stop giving your power away to these people to just search for a little like a different answer to get a dopamine hit to I feel like I see it all the time in my clientele and a lot of those women that I'm working with right now are specifically, there's a common theme in like rebuilding, reclaiming their relationship with fitness where it doesn't take their power away, because I think that's very prevalent for sure in the coaching industry.
And I mean, it's society. We've learned to take cues from other people, and we're herding people. I don't know how we call this. We're like tribal people, and we don't want to be on the outside, right? So to not go with the flow is super hard. And yeah, I always felt like the biggest geek at the gym that I worked at. I felt like I was the nerd. Like, look at the little nerd over there, you know, doesn't have the flashy gym clothes, because she, you know, shirt off in the gym for me. Hell no. Never. You will not see that. You know, things like that. But the gym that I worked out of, guys, was very like that. But you wouldn't see me without, I would have four layers on, and people are taking them off. I'm putting them on. So it's what you resonate, right, with, but it's also, you know, your how you feel as a whole. And I think we are so disconnected on so many levels, from not just the gym, our emotions are everything. And I have to wonder, is social media making it worse? Is, you know, the media making it worse in this respect? And it's something that I wholeheartedly think that it deserves some more conversation around. And I think that perhaps as we move forward in our conversations about fitness, we definitely need to tackle kind of some of what to think about when looking at social media.
Yeah. Social media is such a kind of a root cause, you know. And I think it was a podcast I was listening to, or maybe I read the research article, but there has been research done now linking higher levels of anxiety and depression back to social media, which is why it's just so important to be conscious of who you're following and protect your space, you know. Just like, it's just, I like to think of it like your house. You know, who are you going to invite into your house? Because whoever you're following on social media, you're inviting into your mind and into your body. So be protective of that. You know, that's one of the first things I used to say, you know, even back in this time frame that I think about, where I felt quite disconnected in terms of like that toxic fitness culture. I still would tell my clients, the first thing I would tell them when they started working with me or suggest is do an inventory of who you follow. Because it's so, so key. But we can do a whole nother podcast on that.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we've all heard kind of that saying of like, you are the sum of the five people that you hang around with. And sadly, for a lot of us, social media is kind of like our substitute friends. And this is huge. And, you know, maybe I'm not your cup of tea for social media, and that is fine. I want people to be going after who, you know, speaks to them, who empowers them, who, like, you know, lights their day up versus, you know, brings in all this negativity. And I know with healthcare stuff and me posting some things sometimes about scary health stuff that, you know, it's not always, you know, sunshine and rainbows. So it's one of those things to think about. But definitely for you, you know, all the things I see, there's so much positivity out there. And I love when you show the body work aspects with the tissue. And I think our next conversation too should be talking about tissue. But for right now, to give folks a little teaser, tell us some of the things that you can find by working on someone's tissue. Like, what can you discover and help them to work through? What kind of things come up?
That's a beautiful question. What's coming up for me right now is really just how, like, ways in which we are holding ourselves back. So whether that's physically, like maybe spaces in our body that we're not taking up fully with our range of motion and our movement, or perhaps it's energetically how we are closing and freezing ourselves in our body to maybe like not be seen or to protect ourselves, or also the ways in which like emotions are tied into that, you know. So it's a really beautiful lens to look through the fascia, because our fascia contains our nervous system. So there are so many beautiful, intricate themes that can come up when we're doing fascial work. And I'm going to leave it there so that it doesn't get too long-winded. But yeah, so many different beautiful things can come from fascial work and looking at things through that lens.
You know, a lot of people have read the book, The Body Keeps the Score. A lot of people have, you know, looked into these things in terms of how the body stores trauma. But really, I don't think that, I know I haven't had someone on the podcast to talk fully about releasing trauma through fascial work, but also where it's stored, how the nervous system stores it. And so on our next chat, we are definitely diving into that. So before we go today, Hannah, tell folks your website, tell folks how they can find you so that they can connect and see if what you are talking about is resonating with them.
Yeah, you can contact me always through both my website and my Instagram account. My website is www.liftwithhannah.ca, and you can find me on Instagram at liftwithhannah. So pretty easy there to find me. And I'd love to hear if any of this resonated with you. No pressure. If you simply just want to share, I'm here for that. So yeah.
Thank you, Hannah. Once again, great conversation here. And I'm looking forward to our subsequent conversations, because I think this is a huge topic for women, and just the whole concept of moving our bodies, freeing the fascial tissue, and being able to make our bodies home again.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Can't wait.
All right, we'll get on to it.
Hey, fellow health junkie. Thanks for listening to the Health Fix podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please help support me to get the word out about the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review, and just get that word out. Thanks again for listening.